here. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, please. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. We're going to refer to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, as we go through the message this evening. We're not going to take the time just now to read it because it has been read earlier on by the young people. So we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll hear what God has to say to us this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much indeed for all that has taken place this evening. We thank you for the scripture that has been read. We thank you for the songs of Zion that have been sung. And we thank you, loving Father, for all that the choir has sung this evening. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray. And loving Father, bless each and every one of us here tonight. And may there be a message now from God's word for us all, we pray. Hide man behind the cross and bless us, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 2 may well be known or may well be one of the most familiar and best loved chapters in all of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 2 can be split into three different sections. Verses 1 to 20, we have the birth of Christ. How Mary and Joseph, Mary being great with child, we are told, went down into Bethlehem, and while they were there, in a humble, lowly stable, Christ was born. The Savior of the world was born. In verses 21 to 40, we have the early years, or should I say the childhood years of Christ. We have the scene where an old man, Simeon, who had been promised, he said in Luke chapter 2, he says, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes." Angel which spoke to Joseph in a dream said these words. He says, "Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Simeon knew the reason why Christ was born, that he would save his people from their sins. Then verses 41 to 52 of Luke's Gospel, we have the youthful years, or the teenage years of Christ. When Christ was only 12 years old, one day he was found in the temple. He had wandered away from his parents, like many of us would do at that age, and he was found in the temple. And when he was found, his parents were astonished. The people with him were astonished, because while he was in the temple, he was listening to the doctors, the men who were learned men, who were wise men, who were sensible men, who were brainy men. He was listening to them, and he was asking them questions. And verse 47 tells us this here. It says, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers." Here was a young boy of 12 years of age, coming into his teenage years, and he was absolutely amazing. Verse 52 of chapter 2 goes on to say that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Friends, Luke chapter 2 covers a wide area of the life of Christ. It covers his birth right up to his teenage years. A wide area of the life of Christ. But at this time of the year, we're going to think about verses 1 to 20 of Luke chapter 2. At this time of the year, the story of Christ's birth is certainly the best known and indeed the best loved by all. There are three things that I want to say this evening concerning Christ's birth. Let me say at the very outset, they're all very, very important. Not because I'm saying them, but because it's based upon God's word. First of all, I want to say Christ's birth drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And that's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Christ's birth drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. You might be saying to yourself this evening, that's not very important. Well, friends, this evening, let me make it very clear. It is very important, and we're going to see the reason why. Caesar Augustus was ruling at that time. But can I say this? God was in charge. For God used Caesar Augustus to move Mary and Joseph 80 miles from a place called Nazareth. And remember, Mary was great with child. She was coming to the time where she was going to be delivered. And God used Caesar to move Mary and Joseph all the way from Nazareth 80 miles to the little town of Bethlehem, simply to fulfill his word. Every 14 years, Rome would have taken a census for both military and tax purposes. And every Jewish male had to return to the city of his father or to the town of his father. And the reason why was this: they were going to record things when they got there. Joseph was going to have to go to the town of Bethlehem. And while he was there, he was going to have to record his name. He was going to have to record his occupation. He was going to have to record the property that he owned. And he was going to have to record the family that he had. The Roman government kept an eye on things. They were very tight, and they were very sensible in what they did. And they were keeping an eye on people. The Roman government wanted to know who people were, where they lived, what their occupation was, and what family they had. And it was all for military and for tax purposes. And you know, friends, this evening, Joseph wasn't going to leave Mary, being great with child, all on her own, and go down to Bethlehem. Joseph was a sensible man, and he took Mary with him, and they made their way to Bethlehem. And we're told in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Friends, here we have, as clear as a bell, God fulfilling his word. God keeping his promises. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read these words: "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting." God was keeping his promises. God had promised in Micah chapter 2, or verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 2, that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, that Christ would be born in the city of David. And that's what exactly what happened. Friends, this evening, there are lots of promises that God gave in the Old and in the New Testament concerning Christ's birth. Lots of promises. God promised that the Savior would be a human and not an angel. And in Genesis chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 2, we are told that Christ took upon him not the form of angels, but he took the seed of Abraham. Christ was going to be a human, not an angel. God promised that the Savior would be a Jew and not a Gentile. In Genesis chapter 12, when God promised Abraham that in him would all the families of the earth be blessed, he was referring to the Lord Jesus. He was referring to Christ's birth and how Christ would be a blessing to many. God promised that he would be of the tribe of Judah, and he would be of the family of David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 17, we find that that's exactly what he promised. And God promised that the Savior would be a virgin, and then, or would be born of a virgin. And in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, here's what we read. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Friends, Christ's birth drew Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. Everything that God had promised, everything that God had said concerning the birth of Christ came absolutely true. Do you know, friends, this evening, I wonder, do you believe it's true? I do wonder, do you believe like Simeon believed many years ago that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners? I wonder, do you believe like Simeon believed many years ago that he was born to save his people from their sins? Friends, this evening, Christ's birth drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Secondly, Christ's birth drew the angels from heaven. In verses 8 to 14 of chapter 2, we read these words. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Friends, this evening, how amazed the angels must have been when they saw the great Creator being born as a helpless little baby. How amazed the angels must have been when they saw the great Creator born as a creature, just like you and I, yet he was without sin. In verses 8 to 10, the first announcement of Christ's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. Why the shepherds? Why wasn't Christ, the announcement given to the scribes or given to the priests? People who were recognized as godly men, you could say. Why was the announcement given to anonymous shepherds? Well, friends, I'll tell you the reason why. By visiting the shepherds, God was making it very clear. God was revealing His grace to mankind. Shepherds were outcasts in Israel. Shepherds were people who were ceremonially unclean. They were away from the temple for weeks at a time so that they couldn't be made clean. And by visiting the shepherds, God was revealing His grace to mankind. God was stooping down to the lowest of the low. God was showing His love and His grace to everyone by visiting the shepherds. You know, verses 8 and 9 read like this: "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field by night, or keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Shepherds weren't easily frightened, but when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and when the angel appeared unto them, they were sore afraid. They had never seen anything like this before, and they were frightened, they were scared. The Bible says they were sore afraid. In verses 10 to 12, a very personal message was given. The angel says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The shepherds realized the message was for them. The shepherds realized that this message from the angel was for them personally. It was for them individually. And in verses 13 and 14 we read, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What a picture, friends, this evening. What a picture of the angel appearing to the shepherds, and what the angel said to the shepherds, and the glory of God shining in front of the shepherds, and then the multitude of the heavenly host appearing and praising God in front of the shepherds. What a picture! Here we have the glory of God shining. Here we have the angel of God proclaiming. Here we have the angels of God appearing. And here we have a multitude of the heavenly host praising. What a picture! Something I believe that the shepherds would never have forgotten as long as they lived. Here we have Christ's birth, and it drew the very angels from heaven. Finally, friends, we're going to look at Christ's birth, and it draws the shepherds from the field. We've seen Christ's birth, and it has drawn Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. It has drawn the angels from heaven. And now we're going to see that it draws the shepherds from the field. In verse 15 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Three little words there, even unto Bethlehem. You know, that suggests this evening that these men were located quite a distance away. They weren't close to Bethlehem. They weren't near to where Christ was born. They were quite a distance away. But verse 15 tells us that they were willing to go, that they were willing to make the trip, that they were willing and they were wanting to see the Savior. Now, these men were sensible men, and they weren't going to leave the flock all on their own, so they got others to look after the flock. And then they made their journey to Bethlehem. Verse 16 says, "And they came with haste." You know, someone has said that this was the first Christmas rush. It's not like the rushes today. Here we have in verse 16 that the shepherds came with haste. And it says, "And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." What a picture that would have been. What a sight to behold. Anonymous shepherds, and the grace of God reaching down to them, and the grace of God bringing them to see the Savior, and the grace of God revealing to them that Christ was born. What a picture, what a message, what a fantastic scene that would have been, and what an experience for the shepherds. We're told that they came with haste. We're told that they find Mary and Joseph, and they find the babe lying in a manger. Friends, Christ's birth drew the very shepherds from the field. I'm going to say something in closing this evening. I want you all to listen very carefully. The shepherds are fantastic examples for you and I to follow today. We were told earlier on in our reading that the shepherds were anything but godly men. But these shepherds in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, they are fantastic examples for you and I to follow. They did four things, and we're going to look at them very, very quickly this evening. First of all, they received by faith the message that God sent to them. Whenever the shepherds heard the angel saying, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They received by faith the message that God sent them. You know, friends, this evening we heard earlier on in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 the reason why Christ came, that he would save his people from their sins. Christ's birth into this world was important. Christ came into this world to eventually go to the cross at Calvary. It was sung by the choir earlier on. He came and he was born into this world that he might eventually go to the cross at Calvary and there die for sinners just like you and me. I wonder this evening, is there someone in our meeting And like the shepherds, you're willing to receive by faith the message that God's giving to you this evening, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Mary and Joseph were told, Joseph was told, that he would save his people from their sins. Wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're not saved? Wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're on the verge of putting your trust in Christ? You would love to become a Christian. You would love to have your sins forgiven. You would love to become a child of God. Friends, what's holding you back? Christ came to go to the cross, to die for the sin of the world, to die for you and for me, for sinners just like us. And friends, he's willing to save this evening all who will come unto God by him. These shepherds, first of all, they received by faith the message that God sent them. Secondly, they responded with immediate obedience. We're told in verse 16 that whenever they got the message, they came with haste. They didn't waste any time. They didn't think about it for a day or two. They didn't sit down and weigh in the balance and consider should they go or not. We're told in verse 16 that they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the babe lying in the manger. Oh, friends, this evening they responded with immediate obedience. Let me ask you a question this evening. This Christmas, what are you going to do with Christ? Let me make it very personal and right up to date. Tonight, what are you going to do with Christ? Well, you're going to be like the shepherds, whether you like it or not this evening. You're going to be like the shepherds, and you're going to respond in one of two ways. You're either going to receive Christ this evening, or you're going to reject him. You're either going to follow Christ this evening, or you're going to turn away from him. You're either going to live for Christ, or you're going to live for yourself. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? What are you going to do with Christ this Christmas? Why not come and put your trust in him? Why not come this evening and have your sins forgiven? Why not come this evening and make this Christmas the best Christmas you've ever had? Why not come and make your peace with God? These shepherds received by faith the message that God sent them. These shepherds responded with immediate obedience. And after they found the baby, and after they had seen him and worshipped him, they responded, they reported the good news to others. Friends, what a message. Whenever the shepherds had seen the Savior, whenever the shepherds had been changed by the Savior, they were on their way home, and what did they do? They reported the news to others. They didn't waste any time. They didn't keep the message to themselves. They didn't hold on to it and share it with nobody. They shared it with everybody. They shared the good news. You know, friends, that's what we should be doing this evening. We should be sharing the good news. Sharing the good news in our neighborhoods. Sharing the good news in our places of employment. Sharing the good news in the life of the church. Sharing the good news with folk out in Lisburn. There's a world out there that needs the Savior. There's a world out there that's lost in sin. There's a world out there that's going to hell. And what are we doing about it this evening? Here we have the shepherds, and they reported the good news to others. Finally, friends, the shepherds, they humbly returned to their duties. Here we have men, new men. They weren't the same people as they were before. Physically they were, mentally they were, but their hearts had been changed. And these new men went back to their same old jobs. And these new men were different men. They went back to their jobs glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard. They were new men going back to do the same old job. They were new men who would be witnessing to the birth of Christ. They were new men who would be testifying to the grace of God. They were new men who would be reaching others for the Savior. Friends, let me say this in closing. Once you have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same again. I'll say that again. The Apostle Paul could say it from the depths of his heart. Once you have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you will never be the same again. Christ will cleanse you, and Christ will take you, and Christ will fill you, and Christ will use you for the rest of your life for the glory of His name. Oh, friends, this evening, what did Christ's birth mean in Luke chapter 2? What did Christ's birth do in Luke chapter 2? It drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. It was a fulfillment of Scripture. It drew the very angels from heaven. And it drew the shepherds from the field to go and see the child. And friends, the shepherds are fantastic examples. The shepherds are fantastic examples for us all because they received by faith the message that God sent them. And they responded with immediate obedience, and they reported the good news to others, and they returned to their own duties. Let me ask you the question, what are you going to do with Christ this Christmas? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ this very night? The choir, the elders, the office bearers, and myself, we trust and pray that if you're not saved, you'll come tonight and you'll get saved. You'll put your trust in the Savior and have your sins forgiven.